Okay, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
This week we have two parshiot. We have Behar and Bechukotai, and we finish the book of Vayikra, and we're starting Bezrat Hashem next week, Sefer Bamidbar. So we'll try and talk a little from Behar and a little from Bechukotai. One of the very interesting things in Behar is when we go to the parsha, we see something. You listen and tell me if you see something strange here. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe ba'ar Sinai, and God talks to Moses on the Mount of Sinai, saying, Daber ebnei Yisrael, talk to the children of Israel, da'amarta alehem, and tell them, ki tavo el ha'aretz, when you come to the land that I give you, v'shavta ha'aretz shabbat la'ashem, the land with seas of working.
We have a Shvita.
You're not allowed to work the land. You're not allowed to do anything about the land. So what's strange here is, before you stop working, you have to work. If you don't work, what do you stop working from? So what's the meaning? When you come to Eretz Israel, you will stop working. Stop working of what?
It doesn't make sense.
Stop working the land. Doesn't make sense. So the Pasuk later explains, Sheshanim tizra sadecha, 6 years you will do all the jobs and all the things, v'shana shvit, and the seventh year, Shabbat Shabbaton, then it's Shabbos. Shabbos meaning, you stop working, like on Shabbos, you stop doing all the things that you used to do on Yom Chol, you have the 49 melachot, and you keep Shabbos, you resting, call it what it is. Here it's, the land is resting, you're not doing any work on the land. So, the Torah, every word, every letter, every point, everything's got a meaning. Now we have to understand, why is the Torah telling us, when you come to Eretz Israel, you will stop working, Shvita. You know what a Shvita is in Hebrew? Yeah. We have it a lot of times. We have it all the time. So here it tells you, when you come to the land of Israel, first of all, what do? Strike.
Go on strike.
Strike from what? You didn't do anything. Then the next pasuk explains to us, 6 years you will work, and then you will strike. Okay, so I don't need the first pasuk. What is the first pasuk telling me? If the second pasuk is explaining to me, and now it makes sense, you come to Eretz Israel, you work for 6 years, and then the 7 years you strike. Okay, no, that
not,
makes sense.
That's not strike.
It's shavta. I want to make it strike because you will understand in a minute what I mean. Strike means in the man of Shemitah is we stop all the jobs that we make in order to work the land. And for a whole year, it's especially today, we don't feel it so much because we are not in the fields, we don't work the fields. But those who work the fields, they feel it. They feel it very much. Because according to the halacha, they have to stop working the whole year. In other words, who is going to give them anything? For a whole year, they're not working. Now, what is the idea behind it? For the land to rest? So if we look at the normal nature, if you want the land to rest, every agriculture, every chaklai, every farmer will tell you that in order to make the most out of the land, you will work 2 seasons, 3 seasons, then you stop for 1 season, then you work another 2 seasons. That's the way the land is fruitful. Yes. But to work for 6 years, everybody's going to tell you, stupid, cannot be. It's too much. But so we start to understand that the Torah is not really wanting us for the land to rest and for us to cease working on it because that's what's good for the land physically. We start to understand that there is something else here. So what is the point? What is the point that when you come to Eretz Israel, if we want to make it, like to understand it, you strike. Strike meaning you stop working, but you didn't work. So then they explain to us. Now, if the explanation is nice, it's okay, I've got no problem. So the whole pasuk of Veshavta Aretz, you should take it out. We don't need it. Because it's written. Again. Unless the Torah tries to tell us something very important. People used to think, we come to here, what's the meaning of the Holy Land? What's the meaning? Like waking up in the morning, eating, sleeping, watching television, doing exercises, enjoying life, going traveling. That's why we're here. That's the reason. If that's the reason, it's the land like all the other lands, and we are like all the other going. We are the same. But we are different. So what is the difference? So the Torah tells you, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, what is the first thing you have to put in your mind? Whatever you do is Shabbat Lashem. All the work you do is to get to the point that you are resting for the normal physical work. And what do you do? You study again. Because what's the idea? Okay, so I stop working for the whole year. We understand already that it's not exactly good for the land. Because if we look at the nature will tell us work 2 years, then stop working. But to work 6 years, you are using the land too much. Nevertheless, God promises us, if you keep the Shemitah, on the 6th year, you will get so much that it will be enough for the 6, for the 7, and for the 8. So this, of course, it's not logical, it's not natural, it's up-natural. In other words, we're talking here about spiritual things. This land is a holy land. It's not a normal land. And if we understand it, when we get into Eretz Yisrael, understand that whatever we do is to connect ourselves to God, to the people. The connection is Am Yisrael, Torah Yisrael, Ve'eretz Yisrael. We have a privilege to live here in Eretz Yisrael. That's an unbelievable privilege. The Chatam Sofer wrote that the only one who keeps the mitzvahs properly and gets the benefit of the mitzvahs is one who lives in Eretz Yisrael. Why? If I keep the mitzvahs abroad, don't I do the mitzvahs? Is something wrong if I keep the mitzvahs abroad? Isn't it the same? Says the Chatam Sofer, no. What's the difference? I tell you what the difference is. When I, one will say, okay, if it's not the same, so I'll go abroad, I go to London, I go to South Africa, I go to America, and I won't keep the mitzvahs. Because there is no meaning for the mitzvahs, chutz la'aretz, only in Eretz Yisrael. But we all know that you have to keep the mitzvahs everywhere. Anywhere you are, you have to keep the mitzvah. So what is the Chatam Sofer saying? The Chatam Sofer is saying, when you keep the mitzvahs in chutz la'aretz, it's metzuveh ve'oseh. You keep the mitzvah because God told you to keep the mitzvah. In other words, the mitzvah you're doing is keeping the word of God. Okay? But here, you get another thing. Because everybody realizes that God is not just telling us do this, do that, for his own joy. There is something in it for whom? For us. So in other words, when I keep a mitzvah, there is something in it that is going to give me a special benefit, a special power, something unique. Says the Chatam Sofer, this unique thing you can only get in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, when you keep a mitzvah here, you are fulfilling the whole thing and getting not only metzuveh ve'oseh, not only I'm doing what God ordered me to do, I'm also benefiting the inside of the mitzvah. What does it mean? I don't know if you feel it. But for example, when you go to Jerusalem and you walk around the streets, do you feel a special feeling?
Yes.
There is something in the air. That's the air of Jerusalem. And that's what the Chatam Sofer is trying to tell us. To live in Eretz Yisrael is a privilege. A privilege that gives you a different quality of life. This quality of life you cannot get in Chutz La'aretz. It's a spiritual thing. But you feel it. If you're sensitive enough, you feel it even here in Ra'anana. But of course you will feel it much more in Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is more holy. In other words, God is telling us, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe behar Sinai. And God talks to Moses on the Mount of Sinai and tells him, when you get to Eretz Israel, what is the first thing you do? You keep a Shabbos for God. In other words, all the things you do while you're working, is in the idea that whatever I do is to connect myself to God. That's the Holy Land. Now the Torah explains you how it goes in a physical way. 6 years you will work, and then you will stop working. Now I understand it on the simple surface. But before I understand it, God wants to make sure that I understand why do I work. What is the reason? God didn't put us here in order to sleep, eat, and watch television or whatever. That's not the reason we're here. The reason we're here is, and that's the reason of Sfirat HaOmer, is to build ourselves, to fulfill ourselves with the knowledge of the Torah, to live life of Torah, life which is going to elevate us and put us together, because never forget that it's not me by myself. I am a part of the congregation. And this is the idea of the Daber et bnei Yisrael v'amarta lehem ki tavoo el haaretz. Now we understand that, and we see how beautiful the Torah is, that if there is something that you can understand it simply without a certain word written, or here we have a few words, it means that there is a big thing here to tell us, something that we don't see on the surface, like what we said right now. One of the things that is being to explain to us in here in Parashat Be'ar is Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe behar Sinai le'emor. Where is it happening? In the Mount of Sinai. But it's not we already got the Torah from the Mount of Sinai. What is the Mount of Sinai doing here again? So Rashi explains that the same way that we got the Ten Commandments from God on the Mount of Sinai, all the mitzvahs with all the details were given to us where? In the Mount of Sinai. So then our sages ask, if this is the case, why did they choose especially the Shemitah, this mitzvah? What is so special in this mitzvah? Because God could connect this of everything, all the details from Mount of Sinai, to all the mitzvahs, to a different mitzvah. And if the Torah chooses Shemitah, that means there is something here. This is a very interesting issue. Is there a connection between the Mount of Sinai to Eretz Israel?
Yes, of course.
Of course there is. Now we understand that what the Torah is trying to tell us, what is the connection and how deep this connection is. Because we got the Torah on the Mount of Sinai for what? To keep it where? In Chutz La'aretz?
No.
In Eretz Israel. So that's the connection between the Mount of Sinai and to Shemitah. And that's why the Torah chose to use the mitzvah of Shemitah to explain to us that all the details, like we are here being told about a lot of details, what you're not allowed to do, etc., 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 which you don't see in other mitzvahs. But here we learn that all the mitzvahs, the same as this one, were given to us to Mount of Sinai. And why is this mitzvah specifically chosen? From the reason we said. Because there is a direct connection between us receiving the Torah on the Mount of Sinai and going into Eretz Israel. Because the whole idea is to connect, as we said, Am Israel, Torah Israel, with Eretz Israel. And that's what we're doing now in Sfirat HaOmer. We are building ourselves to what? To receive the Torah. And Baruch Hashem, we are privileged to receive the Torah and what to do with it, keeping it here in Eretz Israel. And that's the big privilege that we have. And we have to bless God only for this. Yeah, yesterday I saw something interesting. You say in Modim Darabanan, which you say in the Tefillah, you say Modim Darabanan. In En Modim Darabanan, good morning, in En Modim Darabanan, you say something very, it's okay, no problem. We say something very interesting. When we go into the Siddur, I'll look the Siddur here so we won't have to start looking for a Siddur. 1 minute. You have a Siddur here?
No, that's all Chumash.
No, not a Chumash. I want a Siddur. Siddur. In a minute, I'll get it. It's 1 minute. 1 minute, I'll get it.
You have 1 minute.
Today we have everything on a computer.
It's on the computer.
Everything's on the computer. It's not the same, but okay. We go to Shmoneh Esrei. We all know Shmoneh Esrei. And one of the interesting things in Shmoneh Esrei is we go to Modim Anachnu Lach. You know, Modim, we say thank you to God. But when we're listening to Chazarat HaShatz, when the Shliach Tzibur says Modim,
we say something different.
Now, you know why? What's the reason?
No.
The reason is very simple. When you thank God, nobody can thank for you. And Modim is, I thank God. So thanking God, you cannot use a Shliach Tzibur, a Shaliach. You have to thank God by yourself. That's why when you come to the point of the Shliach Tzibur says, Modim Anachnu Lach, we also say Modim, but we say something very interesting. Modim Anachnu Lach, we're thanking you, God, because you are our God and the God of our fathers. You are the Almighty, etc., etc. And we thank you and tell you glory our life is in your hand and our souls is yours. And we thank you for all the miracles, Shebechol Yom Imanu, that every day we have them, all the wonders, Niflotecha Vetovotecha, Shebechol Et. And then, Modim Terabanan, we say, we are thanking you, God, that you are our God, etc., etc., blessings and thanks to your great, glorious name that you put us here and we survived and you're making give us life and you keep us and you're going to take all the galuyot and bring to Eretz Israel. And then it's written, Al she'anachnu modim lach. What's the meaning, Al she'anachnu modim lach?
Until we tell you.
We thank you that we can thank you. That's what it's saying. Modim anachnu lach, and then at the end you say Al she'anuch modim lach. So we say thank you to God
that we can thank you.
This is something very interesting. Did you even notice this?
No.
Did you think about it?
No.
What is the Torah, what is the Chazal trying to tell us? It's an unbelievable thing. The ability to thank God, we have to thank on this ability. The ability that we have this beautiful connection with God, that we can stand in front of and say, thank you, God, for what you gave us. This by itself is already a great thing. So in other words, when we stand in front of God and we understand and realize how privileged we are that living here in Israel, we have to say thank you to God twice and even three times. First of all, thank you, God, that we can say thank you. And where do we say this thank you? Here in Israel. We have this right that you gave us, that we are here in Eretz HaKodesh, have the ability to do the mitzvahs in the best way there is. So let us use it. And that's the idea of Sefirat HaOmer, to build ourselves, to understand and realize the power we've got, especially here in Eretz Yisrael. And that is what the Torah is telling us, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe behar Sinai le'emor. Talking about the Mount of Sinai and the connection between the mitzvah of Shemitah, which we understood now, and thanking God for what we've got and for the ability to thank God. Now when you say Modim Darabanan, think about it. Because unfortunately we all know, Chas v'Shalom, people sometimes, they want to thank, but they cannot. Chas v'Shalom, disease. Chas v'Shalom, cannot speak. Who knows what? So, the ability to say thank you to God, by itself, we have to say thank you. That's the great thing of Modim Anachnu Lach. The next parsha is Im Bechukotai Telechu. And here, we get to another interesting issue, which we're going to talk about it for a few minutes, which, by the way, is also connected to keeping the mitzvahs, here in Eretz Israel. The Torah, the next parsha, tells us something very, Im bechukotai telechu, if you keep the mitzvahs, I will give the rain in time and the land is going to be fruitful. And I'm asking a question. Our sages say that we cannot get rewarded here in this world, but only in the next world. Sachar Behai Alma Leika. There is no reward in this world. In other words, all the reward is being kept for us the next world. You have to understand, in order to understand why it is like this, I will tell you a small story in order to understand what it's all about. If I go now to the makolet, to the grocer, to the meat shop, and I want to buy, for example, I want to buy a cup of coffee. I want to buy a kilo of tomatoes. And I will give him, I've got no money, but I've got a diamond that is worth $5 million. Can I pay to the makolet with the $5 million
no.
a diamond?
No.
Why not?
Because he can't give you change.
He can't give me change. That's why we've got no reward in this world. Because what the reward we've got is... It's not connection to this world. You cannot get reward in this world. So what do we really get? Here it's very interesting. So the Torah is telling us, if you keep the mitzvahs, you will get rain and everything. Now rain, by the way, in Hebrew, geshem, is gashmiut. Is all the materialistic things that we need. In other words, the Torah tells you very clearly, if you keep the mitzvahs, are you going to get rewarded or not? You're going to get rewarded. So how does it go together? Now we have to understand. Don't worry. First of all, our reward is being kept for us for the next world. So what is this? This is very simple. Two things. First of all, we said Matan Torah, Mount Sinai. We're going to get Matan Torah. What did Kodesh Baruch Hu say? Im lo Torati yomam valayla, chukot shamayim va'aretz lo samti. If you don't keep the Torah day and night, the whole laws of the world are going to be destructed. In other words, there's not going to be nature, there's not going to be nothing, because the thing that keeps everything moving and going is what?
It's God.
Through the Torah. Yes, through the Torah. In other words, if we don't keep the Torah, we are not keeping the world. That's why Am Israel, Moshe comes to them and says, do you want to get the Torah? Na'aseh v'nishma. Yes, of course, we're willing. We'll listen and we do. They don't even hear what the Torah wants. God wants to give us Torah. Okay, no problem. Na'aseh v'nishma. We'll do and then we'll hear. Which is quite stupid. You want to know what you have to do. Then you say, okay, I'm going to do it. Oh, no, I'm not going to do it. No. Am Israel were at this. So believing in God and had faith. So they say, if God is going to give us a Torah, we don't care what's written there. Whatever it is, we're going to keep it. We listen and we do it. We do it without thinking. And then says, "Va'yichan sham Yisrael kishach b'levachad." And then the Rashi explains, "Kafa alem har kegigit," like he put the mountain on them, and in other words, he forced them to receive the Torah. So everybody is asking, 1 minute, 2 minutes before, Am Yisrael said, "We are willing to take the Torah." Willingly, lovingly, with all our faith. And now you force them to receive the Torah. What's the idea? Why do you have to force them to receive the Torah? There are a lot of explanations, but one of the most beautiful explanations is, it's not that God forced them to take the Torah. He just explained to them that the whole world is built on keeping the Torah. In other words, if you don't keep the Torah, what's going to happen to the world? It's going to be destroyed. So that's the idea. To understand that when we keep the Torah, we keep the world. Now, if we understand this, so what is the Pasuk telling us? If you keep the mitzvahs, the rain will come down. Because otherwise, there won't be any rain. You know, that's not a reward. That's the way the world functions. But still, we want to understand a little more. So, you know what, when you go to have a job, it's what you call tnae avoda. Tnae avoda is how you say in English?
Conditions of employment.
Conditions of employment. In other words, you have the salary, and you have also benefit that you get, not connected to the salary, but to help you do the job in the best way. And this can come to extreme. I don't know if you know, but especially in high-tech companies, you have coffee machines everywhere. The best coffee you want. You have croissants, fruits, cakes. You have lunch. You have a gym. You have... It's not a part of the salary. It's the conditions of work you've got. You have a beautiful office, a beautiful table, a beautiful chair. Everything the best. But that's not salary. It's in order...
to do your good work.
Exactly. In other words, what the Torah is telling you? Torah is telling you, you want good work conditions? Keep the mitzvahs. When you keep the mitzvahs, God is going to give you not a reward.
The extras.
The extras that's going to help you to do the work, but the reward is going to be kept to you at the end of the month. At the end, when we go up there, all the salary is going to wait for us. And that's a beautiful explanation that tells us a very interesting point. For example, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. What do we ask? What do we ask praying every day? God give us health. God give us food. God give us, give us, give us, give us, give us. Is this the right way of doing it?
No.
We have to take it in our mind that when we ask God for something, first of all, it's not from selfish reasons, it's because we want to have the best tools to worship God. In other words, when I ask for good food, and by the way, the Torah doesn't tell you you don't need to eat a steak. You can have a steak. You can have the best food. It's no problem. You can go traveling. You can buy nice clothes. You can have a nice car. You can have a nice home. Everything's no problem. The only thing is, why do you do it? Why do you ask it? If you're asking for the good car so you can drive to a shir, to listen to your shir, or to do gmilut chasadim, to help the poor, if you're going to sleep in the idea that I want to have power for the next morning to worship God, to do good, if I eat in order to have the power to do mitzvahs, in other words, everything I do and everything I get from God, I use for the best purpose. Then, that's what we call work conditions. That's what we call not a reward, and that's what we call praying in the right way to God. Because the idea is to get the best tools to worship God. Now, worship God sounds like something. Worship God is very simple. God wants us, first of all, to love each other. Why? Because we all were created in the image of God. If I love God, I must love human beings. If I love human beings, I must love God. That's the way it goes. In other words, if I don't love human beings, it means that I don't love God. And if I love God, it means that I have to love also human beings. So if somebody puts himself aside and disconnects himself from the society, is he doing right or wrong?
Wrong.
Wrong. He's not connected. By the way, Im bechukotai telechu, on this pasuk, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh gives 42 explanations. 42 or 44, I don't even remember. And the explanations are beautiful. He explains this one pasuk in 42 different ways. 42 or 44, Mona?
Yes.
What? I'm not going to go into it, but I want to finish this shiur with something else. Unfortunately, in our parsha, we have also a few curses. And in the middle of those curses is a very interesting pasuk. V'zacharti et briti Yaakov. I remember my covenant with Yaakov. Ve'et briti Yitzchak, and with Yitzchak, ve'af et briti Avraham, and my brit with Avram, and the land, ve'aretz Yisrael. Now, is this a good thing or a bad thing? Depends where you put it. Well, it's put in the middle of the curses. So some people say it's not a blessing, it's really a part of the curse. But we use the same pasuk on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So it cannot be a curse. It must be a blessing. So what's going on here? I'll explain in a few words. Imagine to yourself, a criminal comes to the judge. He stole for maybe $1,000 from somebody. And with him on the same bench sits another thief, also stole $1,000. The one that sits near him is got the first case. The judge listens, decides, okay, 100 shekel of fine, and of course give back the money, and you're free. Now he gets to this guy, the same thing he did. He says, you? $100,000 fine and 2 years in jail. So this guy gets up, what did you say? Well, this guy went with nothing out and this is what you're giving me? He says, you know, if you were the same, in the same situation, I would give you the same. But you are from a good home. And from a good home like this, you do those things? This guy is a criminal. That's the way he was raised up. So I understand him and I find a way to let him go in a way that he will fix himself. But you, and somebody from the people that says, well, not, you know who his father was? He was the chief rabbi. And somebody else says, you know who his grandfather was? One of the biggest people alive in Am Yisrael. And other ones say, his great-grandfather? Who? We don't want to talk about him. And how is he doing this? Getting from this beautiful house, he has to get punished because this one you cannot fix. That's what the Torah is telling us. God is telling us, who are you? You are the sons of Jacob. Okay, you say only Jacob? You are also the grandchildren of Yitzchak. And the great-great children of Avram. And you live in Eretz Israel and you're sinning? Oy vavoy, what's going to happen? That's the bad side, but there is a good side to it. What is the good side? God tells us, okay, you sinned, but I'm going, because this is something very interesting here. The order is opposite. It's on the other side. Why? Who is first? Abraham. Then Yitzchak and then Yaakov. But what's written here? First Yaakov, then Yitzchak, and then Abraham. That's why we understand that here there is a special learning, as we said now. But there is another special learning. Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yaakov is the pillar of Torah. Yitzchak is the pillar of the mitzvahs. And Avram is the pillar of chesed. Says God to the sinner, you know, I will remember my brit with Yaakov. Yaakov kept the Torah. But I see that you don't keep the Torah. So you know what? I will remember the brit with Yitzchak. He also didn't have the Torah yet, but he kept certain mitzvahs. Unfortunately, I see that you all also don't keep the mitzvahs. So you know what? I will remember the brit with Avram. Avram was chesed, love. So if you have love, even if you don't keep the mitzvahs and you don't learn Torah, I'm going to repent you. I'm going to let you go and start all again. And then, if you live in Eretz Israel, the privilege, the rights that you have because of living in Eretz Israel also is going to stand for you. There are a lot of other explanations. But I want to give you another beautiful explanation on the same pasuk. And with this we end the shiur. We say, V'zacharti et briti Yaakov. People come to us and say, our brothers, our cousins, the sons of Ishmael, they say, we are the sons of Avram. The land is also us. Are they right or wrong? They're right, the sons of Avram. Yeah. So what is the Torah telling us? Look how beautiful it is. V'zacharti et briti, what is the brit I'm remembering? With Yaakov. Who are the children of Yaakov? Only us. And then it goes to Yitzchak. So we don't care that Esav is the brother of Yitzchak because Esav didn't get it. Who got it? Yaakov. And then we go back to Avram. Yes, he had a lot of other children. And also Ishmael. But who is getting it? Yitzchak. In other words, if you're going to say Avram is your father or Yitzchak is your father, you're wrong, because the Torah is telling us very specifically, Vezacharti et Briti Yaakov, who got the covenant, who got all the rights? It's Yaakov. Who did he get it from? Yitzchak. And who he gets them from? Avram. In other words, the Eretz Yisrael. And so who is the land? Us. Which is very nice. So today we learned a few beautiful things, and I think the main thing is to remember the connection between the Mount of Sinai, the Mitzvah of Shemitah, and keeping the mitzvahs here in Eretz Yisrael, and that's Sfirat HaOmer. That's going to lead us to the level of receiving the Torah here in Eretz Yisrael, but not as individuals, as a part of all Am Yisrael.